This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
All right, this is Abby Woods, back with the Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good. All right, so I don't know if you know, but the Preds game has been the talk of the town, just the awesome Dean's field trip, Dean's dinner. So I know that happened recently. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So we actually started a field trip series last semester. We partnered with the BCC to go see the Black Panther 2, actually. But it has, our field trip series has been a little slow to get off the ground. So this was our second field trip and we went to see the Predators. It was amazing. I've never seen a hockey game before.
Oh my gosh.
And so, I wasn't the only one who hadn't seen hockey before, but a lot of people who came to the dinner thankfully had and knew a lot about hockey. And so there were a lot of times during the game, I was like, what's happening? Why is this happening? And then my son came with us. Usually my kids don't do Dean's dinners, but right. He loves hockey so much.
Oh, and, that's awesome.
So apparently this is like a very typical thing in hockey, but I didn't know that like the fans have these cheers and chants that everyone knows and they're not very nice.
They are not nice. They are mean.
And so really mean. And
it is
so
crazy.
When the Preds get a goal, one of the cheers is like, there's Tim McGraw sings a song and then people like basically have this you suck chant.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what they were saying at first. So I turned to Ansel, who's been to multiple hockey games. I was like, what are they saying? And he said, you're not going to like it.
That's a good enough answer, I think.
So, and in fact, I did not. I was like, this is not very nice.
It's not nice. You know, we think sometimes that like, oh, football can be all aggressive. It's nothing like hockey. It's so bad. Like, my high school, we had such mean chants because our hockey wasn't school sanctioned. So it just brought in a bunch of other people. I feel like hockey, if you want to be like aggressive in the stands, that's the sport for you.
It was interesting. But I will say, it was really fun. I mean, turns out hockey is not that complicated of a game to sort out.
It's you follow the puck.
Right. It's nothing like football where I routinely cannot figure out what's happening. But it was so fun. And it was just a great group of students.
That's awesome.
It was fun to be downtown.
Yeah.
So we do have another field trip that's coming up next month. We are going, and unfortunately I can't remember the name of the show, which is terrible, but we're going to the Skirmerhorn, which is Symphony Hall. And there is a Japanese drumming like guest that's happening. I wish I could remember the name of the show, but I believe it's February 27th. So we haven't even advertised it yet, but we'll have one in March. Yeah, we'll have one in March. And then for first year students who are listening and thinking, oh, I'm sad that the field trip series was slow to get off the ground. Actually, everything that we have is open to any student. And
so
we will, I do tend to advertise to first year students first, but we will definitely be continuing the field trip series next year and, you know, advertising it to everybody.
That is so awesome because I was actually getting a little sad because I've been to two Dean's dinners, I think, but I was sad because I'm like, oh, maybe next year I won't be able to go. So that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, anyone can come. And so often I was just telling students last night, around March, I start seeing like the RAs that live on the commons. Mm-hmm. So they get the commons residents listserv. The senior RAs will start to come sometimes to say, like, this is my last one ever. And I love that. I love that.
That's so sweet. I love that. So do you follow the Preds or?
No.
Gotcha.
No. I don't follow. I'm not really, I didn't play sports myself. I do not follow sports.
It's okay.
But my son does. Ansel does. And I don't know how he knows all these things. But he's only 12 and it's not like he has like access to the internet. So I really don't know how he knows.
It's something you have to study up on, I guess.
Right. He has favorite player. He knew who the captain was. Like he knew like where the Preds standing was relative to the New Jersey Devils, which is who they were playing. So I have a source in the house.
That's good because I feel like sports are kind of like something you really need to read up on or really watch a lot of hours of it to understand. Like mm-hmm. this is a little embarrassing. My dad has been a football coach for a very long time. I still don't totally understand the sport. So hi, Dad, if you're listening. Sorry. So, but that's really cool that you have Ansel there to help.
Yes, to decode. It was great.
Nice. Well, you know, I have one last question for you. Since we are approaching spring break in, I don't know, 5 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything before that that you are really excited about? Any events?
Oh, so many. Yes. Yeah. So on February 1st, which is the first day of Black History Month, mm-hmm. Jemele Hill is coming to give the Murray Lecture. And the Murray Lecture is an annual lecture we host in residential colleges in honor of Reverend Walter Murray, who is the same Murray that Murray House is named for.
That's awesome.
And Reverend Murray was a student here, an undergraduate student at Vanderbilt. He started the African-American Student Union, it was called at the time. He was the first Black student on Vanderbilt's Board of Trust.
Wow.
And went on to have his own illustrious career. And so both Murray House and the Murray Lecture is named in his honor. And to honor his work, we always have someone who is speaking who really helps us think about sort of activism and really how to make this world a better place.
Right.
So this year it's Jemele Hill, and she is she's an author, she's a journalist. She was also a newscaster on ESPN, and she's written a new memoir called Uphill. And it was in the fall, it was rated Oprah's like top nonfiction of 2022.
Wow.
So she'll be here. She's giving a talk on February 1st at 7 p.m. in Surratt. And then I just sent an email about this. There's a Dean's Dinner before.
I think I saw that email.
And that, yeah, so that Dean's Dinner is happening in the BCC because, you know, we don't want to ask a guest to like trek across
right.
the Dean's residence. Because it's, you know, so the dinner's at 5:30, which is a little early for our dinners, but,
yeah,
you know, her talk's at 7. So right.
There's so much to come.
That's right. So BCC is right next door. So we're going to have a dinner at the BCC and go over and listen to her talk. And it will be great.
Well, that's awesome. I'm super excited for that. I'll definitely try my best to come. All right. So a big thank you to all of our listeners. And of course, a great thank you for Dean Grisalfi. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I hope you guys all enjoyed this week's Q&A with the Dean. This is Abby. Till next time. And next up is this week's Common Calendar.
Hey Doors, I'm Daniela Aguilar, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I fill you in on upcoming events at Vanderbilt. First up, on Thursday, February 2nd, students have the opportunity to get the professional headshot taken and receive tips on bolstering their LinkedIn profiles. If you're in need of a new LinkedIn profile picture or just want to stop by, make sure to be at the Stan Ball Seminar Room at 7 p.m. Next up is the event that we've all been waiting for, the Commons Ball. It will be taking place the 3rd from 9 p.m. to midnight at the Commons Center. This year's theme is Midnight Masquerade, so cocktail attire is suggested. There will be delicious food, dancing, a photo booth, crafts, and so much more. You don't want to miss it. Are you interested in looking for a community to call home next year? Look no further. The McGill Project will be hosting an info session in which they explain the ins and outs of housing in McGill. The session will take place February 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. and will include live music, artistic activities, free food, McGill swag, and of course, good company. Lastly, on the 7th, The Wondery will be hosting a tips and tricks workshop in which you can learn all about mending, fixing, and altering clothes. These skills could definitely come in handy, so make sure to register for the workshop on The Wondery's website. That brings us to the end of this week's Commons Calendar. There is always something fun to do when you're at Vanderbilt. Thank you for listening. Now, onto the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Agan Ascario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Kate Connell, a first-year student from Seneca, Missouri, majoring in psychology with a possible minor in biology. She also lives in Murray House. Kate, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we dive into the wonderful world of Kate, we have to talk about our origin story first. I met Kate at the podcast meeting for The Hustler since we're both starting out wanting to do that section, and I didn't know just how much closer we'd be working together professionally and personally and becoming really good friends. So I just wanted to ask, like, why were you there? Like, why were you in that room that day? Like, what made you interested in podcasting in the first place?
I grew up with a big emphasis on public speaking, and I loved it. But I really wanted to get into something different, something new. And I knew that I wanted to have a voice, and I wanted to be able to talk to people, but not necessarily in a role like student government. I just wanted to be able to talk about things that I enjoyed and things I didn't enjoy and things that are hard, and give insight to students who were coming into college and wanted to know what it was like to live at Vandy. And so I just kind of went to the meeting and wanted to see where it would go.
That's so cool. So do you think media is a better medium for these types of discussions and like talking to people rather than a more political involved role like VSG? Is that what we're getting at here?
I totally think that VSG has its place, but I feel like I get to connect with people more and people recognize me. And people recognize me not because I work for a student government, but because I talk about things that I think are important and things that affect students. So
yeah,
things like studying and working, and it's so much easier to feel like you're having a conversation with someone than to just be working on papers and documents and trying to get things passed through.
So true. Now let's go back to your hometown of Seneca, Missouri. We were just talking about this before the podcast started, but you were showing me your graduation pictures and you were wearing an interesting outfit. Do you want to tell the audience about that whole spiel?
Yeah, so it's definitely different coming to Vandy. You definitely live in a big city. I come from a super small town. We're very rural, and we have a big emphasis on farming. I grew up on a farm. A lot of my friends did as well. And FFA was probably one of the biggest parts of high school, at least for me. And so a big part of graduating was also getting to like go to my FFA banquet and retire my jacket. And it's so weird because people here don't even know what FFA is. So it's fun to kind of look at those photos, and it's definitely cool to see how much I've changed since I came here.
Yeah.
But also just to like remember where I came from.
And what does FFA stand for again?
Future Farmers of America.
And are you a future farmer of America?
I definitely don't think I'm gonna run a farm someday. It doesn't seem like my personality, but I loved growing up on one. It's kind of cool to have goats and cows and chickens and dogs and pigs. Like it's cool. It's something that not everybody gets to do, and I think it's very it's definitely character building.
Yeah, you're living in a whole.
Taking care of all those animals is really hard.
Yeah, you're living a McDonald's song. Wait, what is that song?
Old McDonald.
Old McDonald. You're living an old McDonald fantasy. And I know you love your goats. So
I do. I love all of my animals. They change and they grow. For a while, I was big on ducks. I had a duck. I had a pet duck, and his name was Crackers. And he was probably my favorite animal. He was black. His name was Crackers. He really liked to sing in the mornings, and he would wake me up for school. I thought he was the coolest thing ever.
That's so cute. So speaking of growth and ducklings, it's amazing. Did you like that?
I love that.
Okay, so I've seen how far you've come because we've known each other since the beginning of our time here at Vandy and being involved in media here. And I see you're involved with other mediums like the Opinion section and the Hustler. I just want to ask, like, what has that been like, and what has been your favorite project that you've worked on so far?
It's been really cool to be a part of several different sections. I love podcast, but I also love Opinion. I'm definitely very opinionated. anybody who talks to me for long enough will figure that out. But I feel like every single one of us has an opportunity to voice our opinions and to make a difference. And I think one of my favorite pieces that I've worked on so far is my piece on weed outs. It definitely got a lot of controversy. It stirred up the pot a little bit. but I'm glad that a lot of people here at Vandy, especially people from minority groups and women who felt like they were being pushed out of STEM, could kind of look at the piece and say, here's the statistics, and here's where I lie. And people are telling me that statistically I'm going to drop out. And for some people, it gives them an edge. It's like, no, I'm not going to drop out. Yeah. I'm going to stick with it. And also just like for the people who are struggling to hold on, to know that they're not the only one struggling and that other people are in that boat with them and that other people are experiencing those things.
Yeah. So you approach that whole weed out story in the context of being pre-med, correct?
Yes.
And how's that going for you so far?
Pre-med is a roller coaster, if you will. I feel like some days I go in and I'm quote unquote, the academic weapon.
As you said.
I'm ready for the day. I have all my notes. I'm ready for this exam. And then some days it feels like I'm falling off the face of the earth and everything's not going my way. And I just failed my exam. And, you know, I'm just like tumbling. So people in pre-med definitely have to be resistant to the bad days. And they kind of just have to remember all of the good days. So it's definitely hard, but very rewarding in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And we mentioned the weed out piece. I know you've written about that and many other things that you're passionate about. But I was just wondering, is there like a more long-term interest that you're looking at that you're interested in professionally and media-wise, like you want to write about it?
Weed out is definitely going to be one of those things that I think is going to affect me long-term for sure. And it affects a lot of people long-term. But it's just that self-confidence that people lack. And the things that weed out does to people mentally. And, you know, in a several pieces, you see people talk about academics as if they're more important than mental health.
Yeah.
And so definitely in the future, whether it's in regards to weed out or not, mental health is definitely something that I think is prominent in today's culture, but also misunderstood. Yeah. So it's definitely good to talk about, and it's definitely good to like touch on and remind students that it's also just as important as getting that good exam grade.
Okay. It's giving psychology minor.
Yes.
I understand better now.
Yes. My psychology major is my passion. I love psychology.
I thought biology was your main major.
Biology was the major I walked in with.
Oh.
I was a double major in psych and bio.
Gotcha.
And then I dropped my bio major. I said, I don't need to be a bio major to be pre-med.
Okay, that's so
And it
so
took
fair.
Me a while to learn that and to realize that, but psychology is my passion. It's what I'm going for, and biology can just be a minor.
Okay, so one of the most popular things in psychology that people like to talk about are MBTI types. Oh. I'm sure you've heard about that.
I've heard about them. I don't do much with them, I will be honest. I don't know my type.
We really?
Yes.
I thought after going through a psych class, they'd make you like dissect yourselves or something.
They did. I just don't remember what my type was. I guess it didn't stick out to me. I care more about, I don't know. I feel like I'm more of like an abnormal psych person.
Mm.
I'm super interested in like schizophrenia and all of that sorts of stuff. So I don't know. I did it. I don't remember it, but I definitely remember I was like introverted. But social, like they couldn't figure me out. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. And on that note, we've had conversations before in our podcast that we do, Door Diaries. Me and Kate are co-hosts for it. We co-founded it and collab every week. And that was one of our conversations, is that whole work hard, play hard thing. So do you want to talk about like balancing academics and social life in the context of the new year and after having gone through one semester as a freshman, what it's like to take a break, come back in the middle of things, and reflect on everything we've learned last semester and turning the page anew?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the start of second semester. I'm kind of kicking it off with a good note. But last semester was definitely hard. It's really hard to find that balance between working hard and playing hard. And play hard to most people when they come into college is this very distinct, like, I have to go out every weekend, I have to be with all of my friends, but it doesn't have to be that way. And it took me a while to realize there's a lot of peer pressure on campus. And trust me, I am definitely susceptible to it. And I spent my first semester just trying to go out as much as possible and make friends. And I didn't really understand what it was like to just stay in and relax and watch Netflix and order in takeout and just do nothing but enjoy myself. But now that I know what that feels like, I definitely have a better balance of like staying in versus going out. For somebody who's introverted, it was so hard to go out every weekend. So I'm really glad that I get a chance to just kind of relax and wind down on the weekends. Most of the time it's like watching Netflix while bio studying, but I can multitask. I can relax and work hard at the same time. So
yeah, for sure.
Yes.
You're definitely an ambivert now. Like, I don't think you're full on introvert.
Oh no. I definitely have learned how to get out of my comfort zone, but then understand where my comfort zone lies. So I'm kind of a little bit of both.
Wow.
it's pretty fun. It's fun to be ambivert. It's fun to like go out and stay in. It's fun to go to the gym and work on yourself, but then also like eat a pint of chocolate ice cream while watching Gossip Girl. Like, I can do both.
Stop. We have to do that.
Yes.
We must.
We must.
Although you can have chocolate and I can have vanilla.
I'm a big chocolate fan. Chocoholic forever and ever and ever. Yes. Oh my God. I literally could never imagine eating any other ice cream other than chocolate. Like, it's my favorite.
So, callbacks. Kate is opinionated, as you can see. And Kate is very self-aware because psychology major.
Yes, absolutely. So,
I just want to end with one last question. I just wanted to ask, what has been your favorite memory on Commons so far?
I think my favorite memory from being on Commons so far and just being a college student has been that tipping point. Everybody has that tipping point within first semester where you go from struggling and you're on the uphill battle to suddenly everything stops for a moment and you're relaxed and you're calm and you just passed your exam and you got your coffee order and there was nobody in line and it just feels like all of the stars are aligning in your favor.
Oh my gosh.
And I just woke up one day and I went to get coffee and there was nobody in line and I just passed both of my exams and my podcast was doing great. I was working on a piece that I was super passionate about and I was doing great with my job and it was sunny outside and the leaves were changing colors. And it was just in that very moment that I was like, this is what I came here for. And that like self-realizing moment has to be my favorite so far. I can't imagine anything else topping it.
That was such a wonderful portrait of life as a Vandy student. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And thank you for your time. Thank you for joining me today.
Of course.
This has been Aigan Iscario, and thank you for tuning into our interview for the Humans of the Commons podcast. See you next time. Goodbye.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.